Well, welcome to the Ted Brower Show. This is a Wednesday. We're having a blast today. We've had a lot of stuff going on this week, and just found out I'm going to be on the Hagmann Show this Friday night for 3 hours covering some breaking news that we have. And next Saturday or next Friday night, I'll be back on for another 3 hours. So I'm going to be on both Friday nights this week and next week. So it's going to be a lot of Ted Brower on the Hagmann Show, which is good for me because Doug's got a great audience, and I really like the folks that listen to his show. It'll be good for a crossover for us, too, as far as this show. So we're going to have some fun with all of that. And so, Austin, I've got a great show planned again for you today. And, of course, as always, Austin and I may not set any records, but we'll keep you guys alert and keep you going for anyhow. So, Austin, let's go ahead and start with the news. What do you want to talk about first thing?
Well, the first one I thought was interesting. The Social Security. New info just came out now. Spending by the Social Security Administration, which includes payment for, you know, Social Security, disability benefits, as well as supplemental security income payments, and the administrative costs for these programs, has hit a record now in fiscal 2015 of $944,143,000,000. It's up even higher than 33 billion higher than fiscal last year, which means we're just basically putting ourselves in debt into oblivion, and more people are becoming dependent on a lot of these disability aspects of the government. And listen, guys, you know, if you have a problem, if there's something going on, if you paid into Social Security, you know, then that's rightfully yours and you really need to get that. But the problem is the restrictions on a lot of this stuff now are so vague. And now we have all these illegal immigrants that have never paid a penny into anything, including the Social Security, and they're getting just thousands and thousands of dollars a month to do basically nothing and just leech off the government. Senator Tom Cotton called the Social Security disability insurance a social plague, comparing it to the effects of meth and heroin. What he was referring to with that is the disability insurance that basically gives people money for being disabled for absolutely no legitimate reason. Now they classify, if you're obese, you can get disability. Completely live off the government because you're obese. So, I mean, it keeps getting worse and worse.
Well, it's collectivism, Austin. It's basically communism. It's socialism. It's that the bulk of the people now are riding in the wagon. There's only a few of us still pulling the wagon. And you know, like with the IRS, I mean, I pay more taxes than I probably should. I always make sure I tell my CPA, make sure you pay all everything we owe. And she always says, well, you pay more than anybody else I know as far as making sure you cover yourself, Ted. And as far as percentage-wise, I said, well, yes, it's just part of the game. It's not my battle's not Social Security or not IRS. I just soon pay my taxes. I said, but the problem is this. You know, when you have to work, I've got friends of mine, they're in a real high tax bracket, and they have to literally work through August before they get their first paycheck off. So their first paycheck comes to them, and because they're self-employed, comes to them in like September. So they're literally working 8 months out of the year to pay the government. And see, there's a problem with that. Sooner or later, everybody gets tired of being a tax slave, and they start saying, well, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. Or they go offshore, like Donald Trump was talking about last night, and they start doing business offshore so they keep the money that they earn offshore into other, you know, business accounts that have lower tax rates. And that's why he said there are trillions and trillions of dollars offshore. But the thing with Social Security is a disaster. When people eat like a pig and they become 400 or 500 pounds, and now they want to call themselves mentally or so sick they can't work because they've eaten themselves into a stupor, and now they want to be paid because they've eaten themselves into a stupor. It makes no sense to me. Why don't you stop eating so much and go back to work? How about that? But then again, what happens is you have a problem where now they're basically so sick and they're on so many different prescription drugs from all the obesity that they probably can't even think anymore. Now, by the way, I'm looking at the Drudge poll last night. They're saying 35% of the people say that Donald Trump won again, which I believe he did too. I actually watched most of that last night, but I have to admit I put it on TiVo, and when the people that were really boring were talking, I simply fast-forwarded over it. But I watched Trump and I watched Paul. I watched a little bit of Rubio, but he kind of nauseated me, and so I felt kind of ill to my stomach, Austin, so I had to quit watching him because he's a complete insider, Republicans, all he is. And here's another interesting. The Trump plan says the U.S.-China trade relationship to make America great again. And this is an article that came out last night. It says, Donald Trump, if you give America workers a level playing field, they will win. I believe that. At its heart, this plan is a negotiating strategy to bring fairness to our trade with China. The results will be huge for American businesses and workers. Jobs and factories will stop moving offshore and instead stay here at home. The economy will boom. The steps outlined in this plan will make that a reality. Now, what's also interesting, Trump said that the reason that Hillary Clinton is running for president because she wants to stay out of jail.
Yep.
God.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He goes, this is on Breitbart. He goes, on Monday at a Springfield, Illinois rally, GOP professor for presidential candidate Donald Trump said that Hillary Clinton is running for president to avoid going to jail. People are in jail right now for doing 5% of what she did, and the Democrats are not going to prosecute her. And it's frankly a disgrace. As you know, Trump said it's a disgrace, and you know it is, and so do I, and these people, they all know that it's a disgrace. Regarding Clinton's use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State, mishandling of classified information, Trump said that, you better remember that there's a 6-year statute of limitations on that crime. Hillary is running for a lot of reasons. One of them is because she wants to stay out of jail while she's president so she can't be indicted and the 6 years will expire. Trump added that if we had honest government, Hillary wouldn't even be allowed to run. Trump mentioned that General David Petraeus got 2 years probation for sharing classified information with his mistress. And he was somebody that everybody liked and everybody respected. And what Hillary did was much, much, much worse. I mean, crazy stuff, man. What do you think, Oz?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Trump's been on the money with a lot of stuff. Like I said, we'll see what happens, you know, in the future and into next year with how everything goes for him and if he stays running. But, yeah, I mean, he's one of the most vocal, honest, you know, opinionated guys up there. And the thing is, he's spot on with a lot of stuff. And but one thing I wanted to share on here, too, is interesting because we're starting to see a lot of, you know, a lot more feedback with people online that are talking about, you know, high fructose corn syrup, GMOs, and more push to get a lot of this junk off the market. And now a University of Colorado School of Medicine just returned a $1 million grant to the Coca-Cola company after the media outlets raised concern that the money was used to fund a group that downplayed the link between obesity and soft drink consumption. And it's funny, the group was covered by the New York Times in an article which voiced concern that Coke was establishing financial ties with scientists and health organizations to drive obesity research away from high-calorie soda consumption. And so the University of Colorado returned all the money back for the grant. They didn't want to be involved in it. And what's funny is it tries to state in this article, well, Mature Kent, Coke's chief executive, responded to the New York Times article by stating, well, the company has spent $120 million 2010 to combat obesity. This is Coca-Cola through funding and research. And I just started laughing when I read that because if you pull it up online on MarketWatch, in 2010 alone, the net income for Coca-Cola was $11.8 billion. That was net income. Their gross sales was $46 billion. And he's saying over the last 5 years now, they've spent a total of $120 million in grants. And, you know, they've had $230 billion in sales since 2010. So I thought that number was pretty funny.
Well, no, it is. In fact, you know, the University of Florida, they've been under a huge, huge pressure because they had the same thing. One of their top professors over there took a grant as far as this whole mess and basically has turned around now and has been lying about the research about a lot of this different stuff, including autism and a bunch of other things and obesity. And so, of course, you know, that's, you know, what just what happens with people that are involved with these major grants. And I've been telling people this for years and years and years, that people are being paid at the university level by these manufacturers to do these studies to prove that the study is going to show that product is safe. And the problem with that is when their only source of revenue is coming from these manufacturers to prove their products are safe, they're going to be biased in every single case, because they know if they don't come back with the proper research study, they're never going to get another grant. And so what they do, they set the parameters up on the study in such a way that they make it look as though the product either doesn't do any harm or the product is working like it's supposed to. And it happens all of the time. I mean, you see this stuff with the aspartame studies all of the time. And the same thing that when Dr. Gonzalez years ago was working with cancer patients and he had a whole bunch of different things that he was using to cure cancer patients. And then now he's dead. Bless his heart, I feel he was murdered. He ended up basically finding out that even when they wanted him to do the double-blind clinical research studies, that he found out they wouldn't let him use the products that he knew would work. They gave him inferior products so that the products wouldn't work, and so his research would be biased. And they do it all the time. I mean, it's just, you know, I've been telling this stuff to people for 35 years. Here's another article on on Hillary Clinton's vaccine propaganda. Brandon Durbervil said, in stark contrast to candidate Clinton in 2008, when questions over the safety and the effectiveness of vaccines were just coming into the political consciousness of the American people in large numbers, Hillary has now become a vocal cheerleader of big pharma and vaccinations. While her opinion is odious enough on its face, it is quite the change from the opinion that she held as a candidate in 2008 when she stated that there's a possibility that vaccines were linked to autism. In fact, she wrote in a campaign questionnaire that she was committed to finding out the causes of autism, including possible environmental causes like vaccines. Well, that just absolutely didn't happen, did it, Austin?
No. No. That's interesting. There's also, too, one thing I wanted to let everybody know about, because this is actually pretty pretty serious. This was going on, I think, yesterday. I know a lot of you guys heard about that Trident missile that went off, you know, out in the Pacific. The U.S. Navy launched a second one this week, yesterday. They launched another Trident missile, a Trident 2D5 from a ballistic submarine in the Pacific Ocean. It took place on Monday afternoon. Now, this is the second Trident missile they've launched now in a week. And this is definitely starting to escalate some stuff here, because a lot of people are starting to wonder, why in the world are we launching these, $31 million missiles a pop, which doesn't even include support personnel or launches or preparing or recovering. Just the missile itself is $31 million. And they've launched two of them off now in the Pacific. And what's interesting is the Trident missile has a range of about 4,000 nautical miles, which it's only a little bit over 4,000 miles from Hawaii to Beijing, China, which essentially means the U.S. submarine armed with a Trident missile could launch a nuclear strike on China from anywhere in the mid-Pacific, essentially meaning American enemies are posturing for war and America's either getting ready for retaliation or they're going to do the first strike. But I haven't seen in a long time the military start launching nuclear weapons like that twice in 1 week for no reason at all.
No, you're absolutely right, Austin. And so, you know, what's happening is I think there's more to this because of the blue lights and everything we're following the missile. I'm going to do some more research on this, but it's odd that this is all happening at once and almost that we're replicating plasma clouds in the sky. And they could be doing something with the missile and doing something with HARP, and they could be trying to put some kind of, how would you say, a cloaking device on top of the missile using HARP by putting plasma in the sky. See what happens when you charge electrons, you create plasma and gas. And I'm going to be talking about this on Hagman next week in detail, in a week from Friday. And the problem with that is that plasma physics is interesting because of the way you do these molecularly charged particles. And when you do all this, you kind of put a cloak around these missiles that are coming in. So that might be what they're doing, Austin. They're setting up some type of cloaking device so China can't track the missiles. But this is total speculation on my part, and I don't know, but I'm going to do some more research on it. But plasma physics, I think, is going to be playing into this pretty quickly because, quite frankly, those missiles are antiquated. They really are super antiquated because they can be tracked so easy from orbital satellites and destroyed. So if they can put a shield around them that Russia or China can't be or are not capable of tracking them, you know, via satellite, they're going to have a whole new weapon-based system that was at this point antiquated that can now be used again. But again, let me do some more research on that. This is just total speculation on my part. I have nothing to back that.
Okay.
But I just thought I'd mention that real quick because, I mean, I'm doing that whole show on plasma physics and stuff. And remember, there's a blue beam that followed this. It was an encasing, you know, it was a bright white beam of light encasing a blue beam followed by apparitions in the sky. That's what they're saying they saw. You know, and so this is interesting. How in the world are they doing all this? And where's all this blue light and white light coming from encasing this missile? So something else is going on with this. And so it's going to be interesting because, I mean, the whole sky lit up with that blue light over there. So I don't know what in the world they're doing, but all I know is this. They're getting really close to wanting to start World War III, and these sicky Khazarian mafia, Sabbatane, Frankist, Kabbalist, low-life Satan worshipers, this is what they want. They want to destroy God's planet. And so you got to remember, these guys are in charge of the White House. They're in charge of the nuclear arsenal. And if these guys think they can win a war and destroy a bunch of people in the process, they're going to do it. They really are going to do it. They're that sick. I mean, look what they did to Russia. 100 million Russians were killed. And that was a lot of that was a blood feud of what had happened back in Khazaria back in the 800s when they were forced to accept either Judaism or Christianity and basically or become Muslims, and they became Jewish. but they weren't Jews. They were Khazarians. It's like the synagogue of Satan that we talked about the other night on Dave Hodges' show. They are Jews who are not Jews that are the synagogue of Satan. These were the snake people. They worship snakes and reptiles and Lucifer and fallen angels. That's who these people were out of Khazaria. And that's where a lot of the black magic rituals and stuff came from. But I've done a whole show on that on Hodges and a whole show on that on Hagman. So you guys can listen to it on that, which I think is kind of interesting also. What's your next story, Oz?
One that I want to keep everybody informed on. About 2013, a few people heard a little bit about it, but it's happened so many times that a lot of people forget. A lawsuit's been filed now again against the FBI out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, U.S. District Court in Albuquerque, as FBI agents used military-grade stun grenades against three sleeping children during a 2013 pre-dawn no-knock search warrant raid of a New Mexico home. They alleged the agents blindly detonated multiple flashbang devices during the raid, inflicting shrapnel wounds and burn wounds, along with severe emotional trauma against the children. The children were 9, 10, and 12 at the time. The FBI was investigating the children's father that federal authorities suspected of him being a drug dealer out of New Mexico. So they thought that instead of, you know, indicting him, bringing him into court, it'd be best to do a pre-dawn, no-knock search warrant raid and blindly throw flashbangs into the house before they do anything else. That way, it just, you know, covers their bases, I guess. I don't know, man. But this nonsense with this police that we're starting to get now, this military police, where they don't even, they just, these, first off, no-knock or pre-dawn search warrant raids are completely unconstitutional. That is nothing what's in the Constitution about that, as far as keeping things in your person or on your property or in your house without a search warrant. These are completely egregious, and there should be absolutely no reason under any circumstances these should be used. They should be completely abolished by any and all police forces. They have absolutely no useful purpose at all.
Well, I remember a couple of years ago, the guy that happened in Texas, a man, and the guy shot the cop.
And he was a Marine. There was another one out there. He was a retired Marine infantry. They did a no-knock search warrant again, about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, like they like to do. Kicked in his front door. He had an AR in his room, as, you know, a retired Marine infantry would do. As soon as he heard somebody banging on the door and a flashbang go off, he immediately opened fire on the masked intruders that came in the house. I think he shot 2 of them. And then they opened fire on him and shot him, I think, 48 times. And it was all because somebody had called the police and said they thought they smelled marijuana growing from his house and he could be cultivating marijuana. After the raid was completely over, they found that he had no paraphernalia or any type of cannabis in the house whatsoever.
No, and then another guy was shot at the cops. I remember reading about this, and then he was exonerated. The court found him not guilty.
And yeah, that was in Texas, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is, if somebody comes into my door at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I keep a gun by the bed. You keep a gun by the bed. And most of the people listening to the show, I pretty much guarantee you are keeping guns by the bed. If I hear somebody breaking in my front door, I'm just gonna automatically assume that they're there to rob me or do a home invasion. I'm not gonna believe, because I don't do anything wrong as far as legally. I can't believe they're gonna be police officers running through my house in the middle of the night, you know, exercising no-knock search warrants. So I'm gonna start opening fire. Because I want to err on the side of caution, in that I'm being invaded and robbed, and that somebody's coming in to do things bad to my family, and I'm not going to take that kind of chance. I'm just going to roll over, hit the floor, and just start unloading magazines. And I mean, I don't even care who they are. I mean, they can just knock on the door and act like normal human beings and ring the doorbell, you know?
Yeah, or come to the house at 8 o'clock in the morning before people go to work and knock on the door and say, hey, we have a search warrant for you. Why have to show at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when they know everybody's sleeping?
The whole thing's just nuts. I get all aggravated. Okay, Ted Koppel, he used to be a former news anchor for ABC, is buying freeze-dried food now for the day when a cyber attack takes out the power grid. This is from the Economic Collapse blog. Most Americans have absolutely no idea how incredibly vulnerable our electrical grid is, but Ted Koppel does. For many years, Koppel was the level-headed host of Nightline on ABC. But now he's issuing a very chilling warning to America. For more than a year, he has investigated potential threats to our power grid, and he has detailed what he has discovered in a new book. He is convinced that a massive cyber attack could and will take out our entire electrical grid for an extended period of time. And he was horrified to learn that the Department of Homeland Security doesn't have a plan to deal with this kind of scenario. And they got plans for everything else, including no-knock search warrants. Why in the world can't they come out with a plan for this? And that the problem is, what happens is, when you start taking out power grids, you start taking out transformers. When you start taking out transformers, there's only so many transformers that we have in stock or are available to replace the existing grid. When all the transformers start blowing and they don't have enough inventory of transformers to put them back up, they can't put the grid back up and they can't re-spool up the equipment. And when that happens, the entire grid goes down. The problem with that is, when the grid goes down, the cooling pumps for the nuclear reactors only have so much propane or diesel fuel to continue to allow them to run. And if they go down and they shut down, then the cooling tanks are going to have the same thing happen with Chernobyl, and we're going to have a whole bunch of little mini Chernobyls and mini Fukushimas all over the United States. Nobody's talking about this scenario. I mean, you've got to have this spent uranium or plutonium or whatever they're going to be using nowadays. They never tell us anything to run these power plants. You've got to have the right kind of cooling equipment in there, because it'll boil off the water and heat up, because it has to be made, a certain temperature has to be maintained, or it melts into the core, which is what happened in Fukushima. It happened in Chernobyl, and I think it happened in Three Mile Island too, until they got it contained. But the problem is, nobody's talking about the nuclear energy. And Obama signed that he's closed over 1,000, signed orders to close over 1,000 coal-operated plants now. And these coal-operated plants were using wet scrubber technology, the latest technology. They weren't putting any hydrogen sulfide into the air at all. And they weren't putting any acid rain out. And yet, it doesn't matter. He's just shutting them all down. And now they want to go more and more and more on nuclear power plants. And they all have problems after a few years. So it's a major, major problem, Austin. And we got to realize that. You know, we've got to get rid of these whack jobs that are running the government. And remember, Barack Obama does not run the United States government. Don't think that. That's not even true. Okay? He is a puppet. He's a sock puppet for Lucifer. These boys from these secret organizations, the Bilderbergers and the Council of 300 and the Bohemian Grove Group and all of these guys, Council on Foreign Relations, you know, Lucifer himself, the Masonic Lodges, you know, the Catholic Church, they're all involved in all of this stuff in the takedown of the United States. And the craziest thing is, I always say this, Austin, and I've said this on Hageman a bunch. If they kill everybody, there's not going to be anybody left to buy their junk, their stuff.
<Yeah. laughs>
You know? And so, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. I guess they're planning on just scaling everything way, way, way down and letting robots do the work of what they need, and I guess we'll all just be slaves and serfs for them to work out in the fields to grow their crops, I guess, but the GMO crops aren't going to feed anybody, and we're going to all die. But again, their stated population goal is 500 million. They want to kill 7 billion people on the planet, and quite frankly, unless we can put a stop to this nonsense, I think they're going to do it. What's your next story, Oz?
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Well, yeah, and there's new reports out now from Germany, speaking of, you know, too many people. basically, Germany saying that they're going to, it's looking at about 22.6 billion euros now in 2015 alone, just to accept the refugees that are coming into Germany. 22 billion euros just to basically accommodate them, food, you know, give them food, school, and education now. And what's even crazier is a German parliament member has now called for introducing compulsory labor program under which young Germans would be forced to spend a year in the service of migrants. He said, we need this service. We have no other way to manage the mass of refugees and their integration, adding that graduates should be given the choice of either 1 year military service or 1 year social service. And what's crazy is that we keep catering to more and more of these people. Who's going to cater to us? I mean, if you have to work for an entire year for free catering to Muslims that came here illegally, what are you going to do when you get done with that? And, I mean, it's just nonstop. Even last month we talked about it. Schools now are already forcing children in Germany to clean up trash left behind migrants. And also multiple schools are ordering girls not to wear shorts or skirts so they don't offend or provoke sexual assaults from migrants staying in nearby camps. How about we just get rid of the camps, make them go somewhere else? Why are they making the children have to change clothes and clean up their mess because the migrants don't want to pick up their feces? They want to go poop in people's flower beds and on the street. Disgusting, man.
Well, again, you know, you and I talked about this several weeks ago. We have two completely separate cultures here. You know, we're dealing with people that basically don't like to use toilets, okay, and who, it's just weird. I mean, you got to remember, this whole Sharia law thing is a whole different level of just weirdness, okay?
Well, yeah, and, I mean, that's what I talked about before, is, you know, I mean, these are not your normal American, hey, talk to them at the grocery store, American Muslims. These guys are full-bodied, to the bone, Sharia law, Islamic Muslims that don't know anything else but death and destruction over there. You either conform to what they tell you to conform, or they either rape you and or kill you. That's the only thing they've been exposed to. So, I mean, you're right. We have two completely different types of societies now that are being forced to intermingle, and the sad part is we're catering to them. It's not like they're coming here and they're having to figure it out on their own. We're forcing the German population now to completely cater to everything they do because they don't want to learn anything new. They don't want to take care of themselves or anything around them. They just want everybody to cater to them.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to say something. This is going to be controversial, but of course that won't be my first time doing that.
Hello?
Oh, and the Rothschild banking.
Hello, we lost you, bud. You completely cut out.
Occupation in Germany.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Austin?
You're completely cutting out. I haven't heard you for about 20 seconds.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. And what happened is the German people basically, you know, were...
So start over again. You said this is going to be really controversial, and then it cut out.
Well, remember, my mom was in Germany after World War II. You know, she was born in 1916. She was raised under the entire nightmare of the Third Reich, okay? She saw the rise and fall of the Third Reich, the fall of Germany, the utter destruction of Germany. She saw all of it. And what happened is the troops in the west part of Germany were left there, and basically they were left in the east part of Germany with the Russians. And Germany remained a vassal state of the United States for many, many, many years, and it still is. We still have our military bases in Germany. And finally, the Russians had enough of occupying East Germany, and they turned it loose back in 1989, and it was reincorporated into West Germany, which is still a vassal state of the United States. The Germans don't want our military bases there anymore, as far as the ones that I've spoken to. It's the same thing in Japan. We still have military presence in Japan because of World War II. What happens, we defeated these nations and we decided just to keep military bases active and alive in those areas. And so Ramstein Air Force Base, one of the largest air force bases in the world, is in Germany. And so it's all about maintaining a military presence in one of our vassal states. And that's what they got so mad about in Saudi Arabia, you know, I'm not sorry, in Iraq, is they didn't want to have us in Iraq because they didn't want to be a vassal state of the United States. And so what's happened is, as Germany does what they're told to do pretty much still because of what's happened after World War II. And it's sad because the German people don't want to do this anymore. They've had enough of it. And they're not going to put up with it, Austin. They're not going to have their entire culture decimated like this. And pretty soon they'll stop having the Christmas markets and the Christmas festivals and the season of Lent and all of that stuff if the government has their way with them, because this Angela Merkel government is completely sold out to the United States and doing the bidding of the UN and the one world government. That's what this is all about. That's why she invited millions of refugees to come to Germany with free housing and free food. The German people never voted on this, Austin. The German people did not go to the polls and say, we need to vote on bringing millions of people into our country and giving them free housing, throwing you out of your housing, raising your taxes, and making you pay to feed them and to clothe them and to house them and to incorporate them into our culture and change our culture to accommodate them. They never voted on this, just like we never voted on the millions and millions and millions of people that have come across the Mexican border that have completely come in and changed the culture of the United States. I remember years ago I was on a cruise ship down there around Tijuana somewhere, and we stopped in, I think Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, and we went horseback riding. I think you were with us.
Yeah.
And that's what that, and we were over in Mexico, and I remember we were on the horses, and do you remember the horses kicking the garbage out of the way as we were walking on the trail?
Yes, big old piles all over the place, just random piles of trash.
Yeah, and then on the streets were covered with trash because they had no infrastructure to pick up the trash. And finally when we got out into the country, you know, we got rid of all the trash, But what was crazy is they had like six guys with us. And remember, they were all carrying guns.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be abducted for ransoms. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, this is just not the kind of place that I want to live. And I thought to myself, this is nuts. Well, that's what they're fleeing away from. They turned their own countries into hell holes down there, and now they come up here. And the other day I was watching this group of migrants. They were just driving down the road. They were all Hispanic, and they just opened the doors on the car, and they just started throwing trash out of both sides. They'd all gone to McDonald's and filled up on junk food, and they just threw it on the road. You know, I mean, it was all over the place. And I thought to myself, are we going to turn into Little Mexico here? Okay, if these people come over here, they need to respect us, respect our culture, learn English, and maintain the values that we've acquired after all these hundreds of years in the United States, and not just come in here and trash out everything they have here. I mean, it's awful, Austin, and I see it happen all the time. Now, there are some Hispanics that come in, and they're super hard workers, and they'd never, ever do that, and some of them are here illegally. But they obey the laws and they do what they're supposed to do. Those folks, as far as I'm concerned, are great. They should have done it legally, but they didn't. And then we've got the Hispanics that have done it legally that have come across, and you know, which is a ridiculous process. That immigration reform needs to take place. That's awful, making them wait for years and years and years. But the problem is they want to get out of this miserable place they're in down there in Mexico. And gosh, we got drug lords down there lopping off heads too. You know, and so we got all these crazy people that will run around and cut heads off in Mexico and in Iraq and Syria and Iran and everywhere else in Saudi Arabia, and they all want to come into our culture and bring a lot of this weirdness with them. And the sad part about it is, because of political correctness, we all say, okay. Well, I'm here to say right now, no, this isn't okay with me. If I'm not being politically correct, I really don't care. What difference does it make? That's not who I am. I'm going to tell you the truth of what I see is happening in the United States. If I had ever thought the United States was going to turn into Sodom and Gomorrah like it has when I was a child, I probably would have moved away from here. The problem is, I remember when I was young, you know, we'd read about Sodom and Gomorrah when we were in Sunday school. You'd think, how in the world did that happen? I mean, how in the world did these guys get so perverted and all this crazy stuff was going on? And now, we just watch it on TV. It's on the sitcoms at night. It's on our TV shows, and we're getting less and less and less objectionable towards it as we become more and more desensitized to it, and it's changing the entire culture, the moral fabric of the United States, Austin. And I'm not just talking about homosexuality. I'm talking about all of it. Satan worship, bestiality, all of this stuff's coming back, and it's really, really sad to me because that's going to be the fall of the United States because we stopped raising little Americans. It's like the same thing happened with Rome. My dad once told me the reason Rome fell is because the Romans stopped raising little Romans, which is a true story. And also because of the fiat money masters down there with the banking cartels that were running the place and tightening up the currency and all the stuff they're doing with us again, the Babylonian money magic, which same thing they're doing now. Remember, always remember this. Jesus ran the money change lenders out of the temple. A week later, they had him on a cross. Always remember that. You know, when he finally had enough of it all, and he ran them out with a whip and said, you know what I've had of this? You've taken my house, the house of God, and you've turned it into a den of thieves. A week later, they had him on the cross. And the sad part about this is that this is what happens when you start going against the money establishment. Like Rand Paul last night was talking about the Federal Reserve again, the only person that would talk about it. And then of course, Trump mentioned something about Yellen, you know, about that he would not put her back in as a Federal Reserve chairman. That is the most powerful position in the United States, is chairman of the Federal Reserve. It completely circumvents the government. They're not under any of our laws. They can do anything they want to do. They cannot be audited. It's the nuttiest thing that I've ever seen in my entire life, that they have that kind of authority with foreign currency like they produce, and they sell it to us at interest, and that we've allowed them to do this and enslave the population of our country, Austin. What's your next story?
Man, you're spot on with that. You were going for a roll there for a minute. The next one, this is an interesting one. Some of you guys may like this, some of you may not. Don't really care. It's a good article. A three-year-old Utah boy now that was diagnosed with leukemia and told by doctors that he had a few days to live is now alive because of a cannabis oil treatment that he started on. After reading about it online and researching the details, his parents traveled with him to Colorado, where such treatment is legal, to help out little Landon. His whole chest was full of leukemia tumors, which he couldn't breathe at all originally. So they started him on chemo. They told him that he probably wasn't going to make it. Landon began to suffer, withered away, dropped weight as they piled drugs and drugs and drugs on. Chemotherapy was making him vomit. You know, the whole chemotherapy is horrible. Absolutely did nothing to reduce the tumors. Well, as soon as they got out to Colorado and started on the cannabis oil treatment, within days of the treatment, Landon started showing signs of improvement, and instead of withering away, his appetite surged, his vomiting stopped, he rebounded, and it explained on the video that they did was still cancer-free even months later. And this is the kicker of the part. The sad part of this is the serious issues still loom over the family, including their concern that Landon might be taken out of their custody. You go, what? Taken out of their custody? Why? The family was initially given an ultimatum. You continue of years of chemotherapy and steroid treatment or refuse it, and potentially we will have Landon removed from your care. So basically, if they didn't follow the chemotherapy treatment, which the doctor said was going to kill him, and they didn't stay on that, and he used cannabis oil, they were going to have social services abduct him out of his parents' possession because they wanted to use a natural source. Luckily, a lawyer was willing to step in and help them with the case, and so essentially they tried to go through with it. He still had to use one chemotherapy session a month to prevent the social services from basically abducting him for the time being. However, the cannabis oil treatment continued to work amazingly well. I thought that was an interesting article.
Well, I'm gonna read you something if I can find it. I sent an email out yesterday, and in fact, you sent it to me. One of our customers is a retired military vet, and he basically was seriously injured in the war. I mean, he's completely suffers with excruciating pain, and he's gotten off all painkillers and gotten off the opiates and everything else that he was on, but he's learned that he can maintain and manage the pain by basically smoking pot. And he called me, or he emailed us, and he said, well, what do you think? The people in my church and the pastor in my church told me that, you know, I'm sinning if I'm doing this, and I don't know what to do because I don't want to go back on opiates. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I mean, you know, the fact that this is actually going on in the United States. Now, here's I can't find the article, I can't find the email that I sent him, but what I basically told him was this. Look, here's the deal. If you're managing pain and you're in a state that allows this to be legal and you've got a prescription for this, then I suggest that you use it if it's working, because it's still better than opiate addiction, because opiates are awful. They do the intestinal tract and everything else. I said, you have to make sure you're in a state that it's legal, like they had to take him to Colorado. I said, but also remember, if you tell your Christian friends about this, a lot of them are going to get angry at you because you're doing this, and they're thinking you're just a stoner. Now, here's the problem with pot, and this is the problem that I have with making it legal across the board in states. It's medicinal use, and I believe medicinal only for legitimate reasons, is justified in many cases. But the problem with it is when children start getting it and drinking and smoking it when they're young, it affects brain chemistry, and it stops the development. It stops the connections in the brain as far as from developing. And so you lock yourself. So if you're a 14-year-old boy and you start smoking pot and you continue to smoke pot, your brain development stops at the age of 14, and your maturity level stays that of a 14-year-old boy. So that's no good. Okay, that's bad. But in this case of Brandon, this little boy who's 3 years old dying of leukemia, you know, and who's not responding to the chemotherapy, you know, it makes sense to do that because it's the lesser of two evils. So what I told the man when I wrote him the letter back, I said, the reason I'm opposed to the use of marijuana is because, and the legalization of it, other than for medicinal reasons, is that it gets into children's hands and it causes all this. But you being a 40-year-old man and you're taking this drug, you're basically smoking this to combat excruciating pain that you endured and war injuries. I said, it's better for you because it's not going to affect your brain chemistry like it would a 14-year-old, because it's not going to stop you at 44 years of age because you're already mature. But what it's going to do is going to allow you to manage the chronic pain without the use of opiates. Because they're addictive, and they always lead to OxyContin. They always lead to they lead to heroin. They lead to gastrointestinal problems. Gosh, I've told you guys on the show just last month, my wife's half brother died of a heroin overdose a month ago because he was an opiate user and got addicted to heroin. So I don't like opiates. I really don't. Now, they're a phenomenal drug when a person has cancer, have had a severe back injury, but for only a short-term treatment for just a few days to break the cascade of the pain cycle. But more than that, that's why they use them for people in hospice centers, Austin, because they know you're dying anyhow, so what difference does it make if you're addicted to morphine? You know, because you're going to be dead in a week. Okay, I mean, what it does, it lessens the pain because it attaches itself to the pain receptors. So this is what people need to understand. I'm opposed to legalization of marijuana for recreational use. Period. I'm also opposed to the legalization of medicinal marijuana for people without serious life-threatening injuries than problems that they're trying to correct. Okay, I'm opposed to that because people say, "Well, I have a headache. I need a prescription for pot in California or Colorado." They get that now. For pretty much any reason, they get a prescription, and so they have these pot centers everywhere else. Well, that's bad. Okay, and they start selling it and all this other kind of stuff. See, all this to me is this legalization of these drugs is another way for the CIA to come in and get people to go on harder and harder and harder drugs and take more and more and more drugs until they get them on the opiates. Because remember, the CIA is responsible for bringing almost all of the drugs into the United States through the Air Force, through Andrews, through the C-130 transport planes. This has been going on since Ollie North. It's been going on before that. It's been going on since Operation Gladio back in the 40s and the 50s and Operation Condor in the 60s and the 70s. This has been going on for a long, long time. So I personally believe these powers that be that want everybody in the United States addicted, that $1 trillion of heroin a year coming into the United States isn't enough for them. They want more and more and more, and they can do that by legalizing marijuana as far as for recreational use. I'm opposed to that, but I'm not opposed to the medicinal use of marijuana if it's really working for somebody who has a disease or a problem, because I would not intentionally withhold medication from anybody like that, Austin.
Exactly. Well said. I'm glad you clarified a lot of that. But, yeah, you're dead on. I mean, if you're in your 40s and you're, you know, a war vet, you're extremely disabled and you can't function properly, and you're using cannabis on a daily basis to combat the pain, I mean, who is anybody to tell you that's wrong? I mean, because, first off, cannabis is a natural growing plant that can grow in anybody's backyard accidentally. It's not cocaine. It's not some synthetic opiate built in a lab like OxyContin. So it's definitely the much lesser of two evils of that. The new GMO research, which is good, we're finding now that Mexico, a country known for over 30 varieties of non-GMO, has prevailed as a judge upheld a GMO ban that was placed years ago. The federal suspension has been active since 2013, despite 100 challenges from transnational agribusiness like Monsanto. And finally, the federal judge stated that the ban was in effect and that they would not comply, and essentially GMOs were going to be banned, specifically corn, which is a good thing. We're starting to get a lot more traction with GMOs. Every time I turn around, more and more people are starting to wake up. You just mentioned it now, and people are like, "Yeah, I'm trying to stay away from GMOs." A lot of them don't even know what it is. But at least they're starting to understand now that it's a bad thing and we need to try and avoid it.
Well, that's why I recommend everybody support Chipotle's, because, you know, they're pretty much non-GMO, and now they have a attorney group that's suing them because they said they're non-GMO, and they saw our sodas there, and the sodas have high fructose corn syrup in them that are GMOs, and so now they're being sued because the cola manufacturers have GMO corn syrup.
And, yeah, I mean, Coca-Cola.
yeah, it's ridiculous. And so the truth of the matter is, I think they should say that we try to have everything non-GMO here, okay? And now instead of just saying nothing's GMO, because they've allowed themselves to be put into a legal battle with that as far as just language and as far as what they're saying, and I find that very sad. Here's another article. This is in September, the National Institutes of Health halted research funding for chimeric human non-human embryos until new funding guidelines are established. Stanford researchers describe the detrimental impact of a ban. Now, I don't know if you know what this means. What they're doing is they're doing exactly what they did in Genesis chapter 6. They're actually combining human DNA with animal DNA, and they're growing it in laboratories, and they're creating these weird non-human part animal embryos, and they're doing it on a regular basis, and now the National Institutes of Health has halted research funding for chimeric human non-embryo embryos. Now, most people don't even know they were doing this. Now, this just came out, and I think this is absolutely awful, and this is exactly what Tom Horn talks about with transhumanism. They're doing everything they can to destroy the human soul and to basically destroy God's creation, because something's going on with the soul. They can't duplicate it. Remember, God can produce things in 4D, okay? Interdimensional. He can do it interdimensionally. Satan can only reproduce things in 3D. See, he's like a 3D printer, but God's the interdimensional printer. So Satan cannot create life. He can only take life that God has developed and basically destroy it or mutate it or change it. But he can't give it the life spark that brings it alive. He doesn't know how to do that. God never taught him how to do that, and apparently that's only something that God knows how to do and is capable of doing. So that's why these guys are just all bent out of shape, and they're trying now to do these human-animal hybrids. This is why when you look at the old history back from the Roman days and the Greek days and all that, they had these human hybrids. They had half horses, half humans, and all of these things were part of the, quote, mythology of the, you know, of the Greeks and of the Romans. And now we're looking back on it, we're going, well, maybe it wasn't myth. Maybe these things actually existed, you know, until the sixth chapter of Genesis when God said, enough of this nonsense, we've completely contaminated the human DNA, and we're going to stop all of this and we're going to flood the planet, which is what happened and why he did it, because the entire planet had been contaminated with Nephilim DNA, and Noah and his family were found to be clean DNA, human DNA, and they were allowed to reproduce and go on to the ark. And there's over 100 cultures around the world that have the same story of Noah's ark. It's not just the Christians, it's not just the Jews. It's over 100 different cultures. So we know this happened. I believe that it happened with all of my heart because I've read it in the Bible, and all these other cultures talk about it also, which I don't need to have those people telling me that because it's still in the Bible, so that's why I believe it. But the point is, this chimera human DNA embryo hybrid nonsense has been going on for a long, long time. It even says in the book of Enoch how they even sinned against the reptiles. Now, I don't know how you sin against a reptile, but apparently that sounds pretty bad to me, Austin. What do you think about sinning against reptiles?
Well, yeah, I remember that was one of the mind-opening things whenever we discussed the book of Enoch when I first read it, you know, and it's not in the Bible, apparently. It's never, I mean, I don't know if it's ever been in the Bible. We've talked about that before, too. We think it is. But essentially, when you start looking in the more detail of it, you start looking at bases on what the dinosaurs were from and a lot of this other stuff, and then you read the book of Enoch, and it specifically states where the fallen ones or the Nephilim sinned against the reptiles and the birds of the air, which, I mean, that only makes sense. I mean, that they basically were having sex with reptiles, which would completely make sense why there were 50-foot T-Rex running around the planet. I do not really think that God would have ever designed an animal that large that was that aggressive to be in population with human beings, even if human beings were taller at that time. The skeletal structure we found with the T-Rexes, I mean, it's an incredibly aggressive animal. And there's only really one thing that I think that could have happened, is that's basically Nephilim breeding with reptiles, which would make complete sense.
Well, yeah, and also remember, the book of Enoch was found entirely in context in the Ethiopian Bible, which didn't go through the 4th century Constantine subversion of Christianity is what it was. And so the book was still left in the Bible. So the book of Enoch is I think it's a text that should have been in the Bible. And I know that several New Testament verses actually refer back to the book of Enoch. So I believe it should have a lot of weight. And it used to be in the Bible until I think it was about 360 or 370 when the Roman Church got together and decided to destroy Christianity by bringing in all their heathen pagan worship customs. And we talked about this in detail last Sunday night on the Dave Hodges show, and I can give you all the specifics, but you can just listen to the show and hear it again. But so that's what people need to understand, is that there's a lot of things going on that we're not aware of that's happening behind the scenes in this chimeric research, and now they're telling them they're defunding it. Well, that may mean that they basically have spent so much money on it. It's kind of like NASA with the Apollo program and the space shuttle program. That technology is so old and so antiquated, they don't even need it anymore. I mean, they know that. We know that. We have much, much more advanced, you know, space platforms than that. But they've had to keep it going to keep the lie going, because they don't want people to realize how advanced NASA is and how advanced the space exploration is. So we're basically being lied to about the chimeric research also, about cloning human beings, all of that stuff. That's all a bunch of lies. And I learned back when I was in biochemical genetics, at Florida State University back in the 70s. They were working on all these different types of clones. I mean, this is 40, 50 years ago, and that was just published research that was being done at the university level. So there's absolutely no telling what they've been able to do. I personally believe that they've been able to clone humans for a long, long time. I believe that. I mean, for decades. And I believe that's pretty obvious by, you know, the research that's out there and that's been in the scientific journals. So anyhow, so it's just weird stuff when you start getting into this stuff. And when I do the show in a week from now on Hagmann for the 3 hours and we talk about what's going on with Morgellons disease, everybody has to listen to that because that's going to be one of those big ones. Now, what I will do is I'll probably replay that the following week on this broadcast, all 3 hours, because I'm going to be covering such cutting-edge stuff, so you can hear it again on our show, too. But the thing you have to need to understand is that it's just part of what we need to learn as Christians and as believers and as patriots, that something happened here a long, long time ago, and we've been lied to. And so we need to try to dig as deep as we can into the truth to try to figure out what really happened, Austin.
Oh, you're completely right, because it always drives me nuts when I talk to Christians and they're like, well, I don't know why you read about that stuff. You shouldn't read about that. You need to just read the Bible. And my response is, yes, the Bible is the first and most important thing you need to read. But that doesn't mean that's the only bit of literature in the history of the world that you need to understand. There's a lot of stuff that ties in with the Bible and ties into Christianity and Jesus Christ and God Almighty altogether. It's not just in the Bible. There's a lot of other stuff out there you got to look at.
No, that's absolutely right. And the truth of the matter is this. I mean, I don't think we should ever put the Bible aside. I think it's the most important book we should ever read. But I also believe we need to do additional research, look at other things that were written in the same time, so we have a better understanding of the concepts and the principle of the Bible, and we understand it. I also believe, as you know, I have a strong, exhaustive concordance here in my office, that we should go back into the Greek and actually look at the words that were being used and get the full expose, so to speak, of what these words mean. And so we can understand it. I mean, we did that thing in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. I've quoted that before on the show and also the other night on Hodges. And, you know, people always misconstrue that because they don't go back and look at the actual Greek and the root words. And the craziest thing is this. You know, we know that something really, really major happened 2,000 years ago. We know the entire calendar was changed. We know that the entire culture of the world has been changed, you know, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so everybody needs to realize that's the most important single thing that we're ever going to look at and talk about in our life, because sooner or later this life will pass away and we're going to find out about the next life real quick. Austin, it's been a blast. I'll talk to you tomorrow. We love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for supporting healthmasters.com. Again, I forgot to give out the website, healthmasters.com. Free newsletter available to you. Go to the website and check it out.
Thank you.